How are we doing? Good morning. Good morning. Are we all well? Today is our sort of second to last, penultimate, whatever you want to call it, session in this series. In the beginning, Jesus. I loved our worship this morning, just to honor the King, lift our names up, His name before Him. And so if you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, please, verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And so this morning, let's see. This morning we want to have a look at God with us. God with us. And I mean, whenever we look at this whole thing, if you go back over our series and have a look at what we've been preaching, and where we've been going and what we've been doing, it's excuse the pun, but it's like been like a snowball, if you get it. We've been creating this momentum of the snowball. Jesus, our hope, is how we started it off. We started off with the redemption and the grace in the Garden of Eden. As we always say, well, as Chris always says, if you want to know where it all started and where everything happened, let's go and read in the garden. Back in Genesis with Adam and Eve. And then we looked at Jesus, our mediator. It's not our fame, but God's glory. It's not about us. It's about His glory. It's not about how we can be smart and how we can be clever. And remember, we looked at the Tower of Babel and how they were trying to build this thing and make a name for themselves. And it's not about that. It's about God's glory. And then we looked at Jesus, our deliverer, out of our Egypt and bondage into His liberty and grace. And we don't want to be living looking back over our shoulders all the time. We want to be marching forward. You remember we read that powerful piece of scripture, and they marched out strongly. They marched out deliberately. They marched out with boldness. They wanted to get as far from their bondage. And sometimes we need to understand that and do that ourselves. Otherwise we get out of it. It's like when we come to the cross, and we get to the cross and we go, oh, it's so cool at the cross. I love the cross. I'm not belittling or making anything of it. I'm making a point. Just let me finish. We love the cross. And if we understand it, then we got to move on. We got to mature. And we always look to the cross, but we got to mature and grow and become who Christ has called us to be. But remember, I told the story years back. It's like the little boy who's playing out in the mud, his sin. And then the mommy comes and says, listen, let's get dressed. We're going to go to the shops now. And he gets out and he gets all nice and dressed up, come to the cross. And he says, no, it's so cool inside here. I'm not going outside again. No, come on. We've got to go out and we've got to go and live the life. And so we leave the bondage behind and we move into His liberty and grace. Then we looked at Jesus, our provider. We looked at Abraham and Jesus. He is our source and He will always provide for us. Remember, there's always a ram in the thicket. Kevin, you should have helped me there. At least you preached it. Jesus, our inheritance. Then we looked at Joshua and Jesus. We were taken out of Egypt. We are given inheritance. We are taken into inheritance. And you know, in the Old Testament, it was about land. It was about the land inheritance. For us, it's not about land. It's about our internal inheritance. Thank you. And then we looked at Jesus, our forgiveness. We looked at Joseph and Jesus. The reconciliation to the Father. You see, the whole family is reconciled. Joseph was reconciled back to his father. And what I loved so much about it, and I never saw it really until I started studying and preparing for this, that when Joseph was in the room and he wanted to reveal himself to everybody, he told everyone to leave the room. He didn't want everyone to know about his brother's sins. He wanted to cover his brother's sins, and that's why he sent them all out, so he could reveal his heart to them, and they would know, and nobody else would know how they had sinned against him. And then we looked at Jesus, our shepherd, the Ezekiel prophecies, God's our wills, Jesus I am, the great shepherd, and today, God with us, God Emmanuel. And we're going to have a look at this wonderful song. We're just going to look at it. I mean, I'm not going to sing it. If you're under 40, you probably haven't a clue what I'm talking about. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus because He first loved me. Powerful words. Powerful words. And we're going to look at Jesus is God with us. Matthew 1:18-25. And so hopefully you see, let's read. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which she is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took his wife. But he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. We have a look at this, as I said, the snowball effect. This is good news. This is not good advice. This is good news. We should all be going, there we go. I know you're a little bit more expressive than that. Yeah, exactly. Where's Vince? He's teaching kids today. Good. This is not, advice is something given when you have a smattering of information or a smattering of truth. A little bit at hand, so you give some advice based on that. This is not good advice. The kings will gather their advisors around them and say, the enemy is coming, what should we do? And the advisors will say, O great king, thou hast know everything, we are your advisors and we love you, O great king. And after 3 hours, he's still thinking, what should I do? Because these guys are just giving me seemingly advice. This is good news. It's an oracle of declaration, an announcement of what has already taken place, what has already happened. That's the wonderful message of God's grace to us. We don't have to do anything for it. It's what Jesus has done for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We don't have to jump over hoops or through hoops and over, what are those things? Hurdles, thank you. Over the hurdles. I'm just testing to see who's listening. Over hurdles, swim across rivers, climb mountains, run marathons. There you go. His grace is enough. It calls for a response to something that has already taken place. All we have to do is respond to it. This is good news. Amen. Not go, duh. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm telling you. If you've never listened to me before, I'm telling you this morning, it's good news. Listen, it's good news. You just won $1 million for eternity. Oh my word. Who wants $1 million here this morning? There we go. Some of you, really? Okay, so you get the point I'm trying to make. You should be going, wow, that's good news. You know that lotto ticket thing you take and you win, I don't know, $500 a week or $500 a month, and they show you week 21 and week this is it. This is nothing like that. It's better. And why? Because we have abundant life. Life that we have just got to respond to. And when the king comes and says to his advisors, what should I do? They're going, I don't know. And we need to understand that when the king knows the good news comes, all he has to do is he doesn't have to go to the advisors. He's got to go, yes, we've won the victory. We have the war we have won. And we can live in the fullness of that. When the king wins, he sends envoys and messengers out to declare the good news. And as we saw on Tuesday night, the night of the nobodies, the shepherds the lowest rung on the totem pole or on the corporate ladder, if you want to put it, were the shepherds. They didn't even get onto first base. They didn't get a company car and a cell phone and all the good stuff. They were just, and they were doing the midnight shift. And they were out there. And the angel came and appeared to them and said to them, you guys are the first invited to this deal with this baby boy being born. He sent out his angelos, the angels, to go and talk about his messages. And of course, people maybe didn't get it right at the, well, we're just going to visit a baby. No. Christ, the Christ child, the God man. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know when you kissed your baby's face, you kissed the face of God? Can you imagine? Just allow your minds to run a little wild, get a little bit creative. Teenager sitting with his baby in her arms, kissing the face of God. That is good news. And this snowball effect that we've been talking about in the beginning, Jesus, because Jesus didn't arrive just on planet Earth in the New Testament, in the book of Matthew. He was in the beginning. He was with God. Kevin Lee amazingly quoted that scripture this morning. And He was not a God. He was God. Luke 2:9, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. People, the Christmas story is foundational to us understanding grace. That incarnate God came, Jesus, fully God, fully man, to walk amongst us. You shall call His name Jesus. This is a historical association with His name. We sang this morning, there's power in the name of Jesus. There is power when we declare His name Jesus. I know many years ago, in Bridget's walk, trying to be delivered, she was lying on a bed one day and she felt this weight on her chest, and she opened her eyes and she saw this demon sitting on her chest. She didn't Shunday Bunday any other day but Monday. All she did was screamed the name of Jesus. And in that moment, in that instant, she was delivered. There's power in the name of Jesus. We don't hear them blaspheme any other God, because there's power in the name of Jesus. We look at this, we look at His name, you shall call His name Jesus. In Jesus, our inheritance. When we look at that, we see that He has inherited the commonality of the name between Joshua and Jesus, the nation of Israel. When we look, Joshua took the people out of the promised land into their inheritance land. It was wonderful freedom and liberty, but it was temporal. Jesus, with the meaning of the same name, which means God as Savior, comes down and He takes us from our land, from our bondage, into the promised land. And that is eternal. And that, my friends, is good news. His name is significant. The Son of Mary was rightful in calling Him Emmanuel, or Jesus. Matthew 1:21, she will bear a son and they shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. He will save the people from their sins. What does that mean to us? Well, He will save us from the guilt of sin. There we go. From the guilt of sin. You know, guilt is one of the most crippling things ever. We forgive others. We forget to forgive ourselves. And then when something happens, we down-talk and we internalize and we self-talk and we say, well, what a bad guy I am or a bad gal I am. I didn't get that right. I should have done better. That's law. That's legalism. That's not grace. Grace teaches us to say no to sin. I'm not talking about going from law to licentiousness. You've heard me say that a number of times. But we need to know that Jesus came to save us from our sins, and part of that was from the guilt of sin. The shame that we heap upon ourselves every time we mess up. Hebrews 10 verse 2. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once and for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. Do we get that when Jesus came, He forgave us past, present and future, and we don't have to feel guilty? Sometimes we feel foolish and stupid about what we do and things we say and our actions. But when you start feeling guilt and condemnation, let me be very clear with you this morning, that is not God. That is not Jesus. And let's cover all bases. That is not the Holy Spirit. That's the enemy trying to debilitate you and want to run around in this little thing here we call the brain. And wants to tell you how stupid you are and how foolish you are. And you should feel some pain and you should feel some guilt. I'm not talking about not having empathy or compassion. I have huge empathy and compassion for those who are still without lights and power. All of us here, just to one degree or other, get that today, this week. If you never had an outage before, in winter in Canada, in winter in South Africa, we're just going to get candles and hang around. Winter in Canada, different story. We get it, and we can have empathy and compassion. Romans 5:8, but God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners. He gets why we are still sinners. Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. If you're a child of the King, you have been saved from the wrath of God. God is not angry with you anymore. That's good news. I thought God was sitting up there ready to whack me and beat me and put things, obstacles in my way. No. That's why we preached about that word, nice word, called propitiation. The blood of Jesus has saved us from the wrath of God. The law was fulfilled. It was completed. It was done once and for all. That is good news. So what do you say, Mark? If I mess up, it's okay? No, it's not okay. Because grace teaches us to say no to sin. And we not need to build some backbone and some spine and learn to use those two letters, no. We need to learn to use that. But am I going to be, God punish me? No. We still live like that and think that. Well, I messed up today. God's angry. I feel so far from God. God didn't go anywhere. God didn't move. God remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing can take them out of my hand, says the Word of God. And truthfully, we do all behave like silly sheep from time to time. I said we. I didn't say you. I said we. He will save us from our sin. He will save us from the guilt of sin. He will save us from the power of sin. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. From the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. We have been made free from any condemnation and any guilt and any power of sin we think holds us and binds us. We cannot be the slave master to two. I know personally for me, I'm a slave to Jesus Christ, my Heavenly Father, empowered by the Holy Spirit. If you want to walk with me, that's our stance on life, our stance on life. That's who we are in Christ Jesus. That's who we are, living abundant lives. This is not prosperity gospel, people. This is God with us. Came, walked amongst us, was tempted in every way like us. Probably was cold and had no power for a lot of time. By sending and sanctifying His Holy Spirit to us, He breaks the dominion of sin over our lives. Romans 6:6. We know that our old self, do you know? Scripture tells us, we know that our old self was crucified with Him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin, for one who has died has been set free or made free from sin. The question is, have you died to yourself? Or is this all about me and how I want to do things in my way, or it's the highway? This is good news. This should be liberating. This should be exciting for we as we close off 2013 and we march boldly into 2014. And we can say this has been a great year, but there's nothing like the new year is going to be. Saved us from the consequences of sin. The consequences of sin, the wrath of God and eternal judgment. The little babe that came. That's why He came. Cute little chubby cheeks, I'm sure they did to Jesus. They didn't see the Christ man, the God man. They just saw chubby cheek baby. Isn't it the same? I know your mothers must freak out every time people come up and grab your child by the cheeks and, what a cute little baby. Don't touch my child. No, that's not how we behave. Stay with me, don't lose it. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And to wait from His Son, for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. There is a wrath to come for those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not, it'll all pan out in the end and God will say, okay, it's all right. You can all come into heaven. It's not going to work like that. If that's your philosophy, let me just shoot that down today. Let me help you. Romans 6:22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, to its end, eternal life. I'm just an alien passing through here. And this is, as you know, this is not, let's sit at the rapture bus stop and wait with our handbags and Jesus coming back. No, this is not pie in the sky stuff. This is steak on our plate while we wait. Be the church. Go out and be church. I hate anymore even saying let's come to church. This is not coming to church. We are the church. This is a building. Thank you for the heat, Lord. Thank you for the power, Lord. Thank you that is protecting us and making us feel warm today, Lord. But if you read the little thing above, you are now entering the harvest field as we exit the church. That's where the church is. That's where we go to be the abundant life. Come for my little dose of medicine on a Sunday. And it's a team time talk. This is what it is. And we're the coaches and we're helping. We trust we are anyway. But we've got to go out and be the church. We don't come and do church. There we go. I've got a few converts. Well, you mean when I go, I've got to go and be like a Christian? Yeah. You mean I actually got to behave myself? Yeah. You mean I'm supposed to be like the light to the world? Yeah. You mean that my life should be a walking witness? Yeah. Do you mean when I come across somebody and I feel the urge to pray for them, I should pray for them then and there? Yeah. Do you think I should be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? No. They shall call His name Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus and Emmanuel. This is about the wonderful, amazing name given to this babe, the Son of God, Jesus. God is Savior. Emmanuel, God with us. What does this mean to us? I'm so glad you asked. This means that when we talk about Jesus, we mean God with us. That His name is Jesus. It talks about His nature and who He is and His character. That He in His deity, in the fullness of God and the fullness of man. And some people want to believe that. But when Jesus came to earth and He was just a man, He wasn't God. No, He was fully God, fully man. He just left His glory realm and came and walked in His glory on earth. And if you cut Him, He bleed. And if you slapped Him, He got hurt. And I think sometimes we get this impression that when Jesus came to earth, He was like hovered 3 inches above the ground. Ooh. You remember all the movies they used to make? You never saw His face. You just saw the fingers. I don't know what the point of that was, but anyway. You know? Ooh. No. We were chatting to some people once, and we said, if Jesus came back to earth today, would you recognize Him? Yeah, absolutely. How would you recognize Him? You'd see the nail scars in His hand. And He had this long blonde hair. No. No. He had blue eyes. No. No. He wore this white flowing robe. No. I think if Jesus came to earth today, He'd have long hair. I think He'd be in a ponytail. He might even have an earring. He'd have a Nike t-shirt on and a pair of Levi jeans. And a pair of running shoes. That's so sacrilegious. No. I think Jesus would come and fit in with us. He'd come and be what He was when He was on earth originally. Met with the sinners and the prostitutes and the drunkards. Those who needed the doctor, not the sick, not the healthy. Anyway, that's just aside. He is mighty God, everlasting. This is what it means. So He is mighty God, as we sang, and we declared the good news that He is mighty God, everlasting. He is God. He carried the glory of God. He is God, Prince of Prince, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, everything that Kevin exhorted this morning. He is all of that. He is the great I Am. How will I know, said Moses, when I go and say? And He said to them, tell them that the great I Am has sent you. Understand that Moses didn't grow up an Israelite. He wouldn't know. He wouldn't have learnt the 5 books of the Bible, which hadn't been written, of course. He didn't understand. The people wouldn't know, but when he came to the Israelites and he said, the great I Am sent me, they go, ah, now we know who you are. We know who sent you. He was declared to be the Son of God with power and all virtue. All power. All virtue. What does this mean to us? Here we go. He is equal with God. He is not subservient. He's not second. Except He is the Son. And He obeys the Father. It's a great lesson we could learn. In Him dwells the fullness of deity. Colossians 2 verse 9. The fullness. Ah. And I know our heart's cry is we want more of Jesus. We want more of God, more of the Holy Spirit. And that's a good thing. The bad thing is that we think that we haven't got it already. There's nothing more to give us. He's given it all to us. We have to do the response thing, the good news thing, and not the advice thing. We have to respond to His fullness, His deity, His everything, His all. I don't know how else to put it. All. All. Maybe that sounds better. It's not like He's holding back a little bit. And if we really press in and we really pray and we really walk on broken glass on our knees, that He's going to say, okay, He has a little bit more of me. He's given us everything. For goodness sake, He died on a cross for us. He shed His blood for us. Wonderful that His Father raised Him up on the third day. And then He said, I will not leave you alone. I'm going to send the fullness. of who I am in the form of Holy Spirit to you. So we have everything. We just got to respond to that and accept that. You know, it's like we're learning to do it better. It's like when we come in, Lord, we ask for your presence today. His presence is already here. We don't have to ask for his presence. Because the minute the first person here walked in the door, his presence was here. Because we carry the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the God the Father with us wherever we go. So why are we being stupid? We're being stupid with the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I just thought I'd throw that out there. And I said last week, there are no secrets because God is with us. So the best we can pray for is let your manifest presence increase, Lord God. Not that we make it happen. This morning when the word came, we felt that this is what the Lord was saying. We didn't need the pastors and the deacons and anybody else to come and pray for those people. Because it was a sovereign move of God. And God is sovereign and He will do what He chooses to do. And so we cannot hop it up. Oh, okay, look at those people. They came in faith and obedience to the front. Okay, let's go pray for them. No, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll mess it up. Holy Spirit doesn't actually really need our help. Don't get me wrong. Of course, there are times when we would need to pray for people and that kind of stuff. We also need to discern the sovereignty of God, a move of God, and what God is saying. And then not do things ourselves. God, He is God manifested in flesh. So then, let's just quickly, why did Jesus come to earth? What have we got? We got it. He came to save sinners. He came to call sinners to repentance. He came to seek and save the lost. He came to demonstrate the true purpose of life and give himself as a ransom. To be a king and bear witness to the truth. To do the will of his Father. To be a light to the world. And if I asked you to come and we had a blackboard up here, you could all come and write something else up here. This is not a definitive list. It's not a list in any way, shape, or form. It's just that he came to be the fullness of him. And we need to get that. Why did Jesus come to earth? We need to understand that without hope, Jesus is our hope. When we try to do the glory thing for ourselves, we stand alone because he is our mediator. In a time of crisis, Jesus is our deliverer. And there's no size of crisis. There's no depth of crisis. Crisis is crisis in our lives when we get there. Because this power outage, for example, I saw someone wrote an article and I thought, let me tell you what they said. They said that this power outage was like being in Bosnia and Sarajevo. I'm like, what? They obviously never been in a war zone to start off with. This little outage, and some of you might disagree with me, was a little bit uncomfortable. I hate being cold. I hate not having hot food. I'm just letting you know. I can't function without a cup of coffee in the morning. It was inconvenient. It was not like Bosnia or Sarajevo. It was not like a war zone. I wanted to get them and say to them, tell me, over this time, who was shooting at you? Wow. A little crisis, and we all freaked out. Nonetheless, inconvenient and uncomfortable. Where did I get to? When we're in need, Jesus is our provider. When we carry guilt and shame, he is our forgiveness. When we are looking for a future, he is our inheritance. When we need guidance, he is our shepherd. And we understand that. Receiving Jesus takes courage. We just have a look at this little pantomime, as I described it, with the things you'll think, well, what will others say if I became a Christian? Well, the town people were gossiping. Yeah, Mary, Joseph. Oh, gee, you know, that's not right. You know? They got some weird story in their head about the Holy Spirit or something. Town were gossiping. What will others do? Herod freaked out completely. Okay, stop, hold the bus, let's kill all the babies. Anybody two and under, let's kill them all. You mean I might die for the sake of the gospel? In Canada, highly unlikely. You might get a little rejection. You might get a door slammed in your face. It's not like somebody shooting at you. It's a little bit inconvenient and maybe uncomfortable. But you know, I want to help you here. When people reject you, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the King. You just happen to be the good news provider, the messenger bringing the good news. They're sick and tired of advice. I'm telling you, the world is sick and tired of bad advice. If you come to Jesus, then your life is going to be better and everything's going to work out for you and you're going to tiptoe through the tulips. Well, that means if we, the Christians, we won't get the power outage. Yay. No. That means if we, the Christians, and we follow Jesus, then everyone's going to have snow around them and we're going to have sunshine. Now, I know that God performs miracles. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a mindset. That is not the gospel. That is really bad advice. It's bad preaching. If you come to Jesus, I think Scripture says something like this. You will have troubles and temptations and trials in this lifetime. I think the Scripture says something like that. But I do know that I am heaven bound. I'm eternally secure in my Lord and Jesus Christ. And no matter what crisis comes, I will still love the King. Job, even though you slay me, will I praise you? You want his crisis? A little bit of power outage? I'm just using it this morning because it's so real to us. What will others say? What will others do? Why can't I do it my way? There's no condition on this thing. It's only one thing that happened. Father sent his Son. He died on the cross for us. Fulfilled the law. Saved us from the coming wrath and the judgment. Seated in heavenly places with him. Eternal life. Guaranteed. Jesus names us. We don't name him. Paul says in Ephesians 3. He says, I kneel before the Father from whom all earth derives its name. That's where we get our name from. Not, I'm the Apostle Paul, I kneel before the Father and I'm going to do it my way and give you a name and let's be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, something like that, and just fit in with my schedule, Lord. He is our Savior. He is Jesus with us. Can the worship of the musos come up, please? Will the worshipers stay there? The musos come up here. Yeah. The point is, he came to earth to build a relationship with us, not a religion. Jesus didn't come for religion. He spoke to those about religion. He spoke to the Pharisees and the Sadducees about religion. Because in every situation, there's always the Pharisees. There are always those who want to point the finger and say, well, you should have done it this way, you should have done it that way. You know, the last eight words of a dying church, we've never done it this way before. God is with us. He is our hope. He is our mediator. He is our deliverer. He is our provider, our forgiveness, our inheritance, and he is our shepherd. I just want to pray for people this morning. Number one, if this the Word of God has meant anything to you, if it's touched something in your heart, if you need a paradigm shift, if I could put it that way. If you've seen things the other way around, understand the power in the name of Jesus. Why they called him Emmanuel, God with us. Just think about that for a while. You know, sometimes we just hear stuff and we're responding and answering. I want you to let that seep down into your spirit first. God with us. Promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Nothing, paraphrased, can take you out of my hand. As we close the year, I'd hate to walk into a new year with people confused about, am I saved? Am I a true child of God? Is God angry with me? Why do I feel so guilt about my sin? I feel shameful about my sin. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain. Last time I preached, I can't remember the word right now, but when in Scripture, when it talks about, in the Old Testament, it talks about, and the bondage that was broken, I think the word was huasha. What it means is that bondage, that yoke, you see the oxen with the yoke upon their neck, that thing was shattered into so many pieces it cannot be put together again. That's the power of the Word of God. And then we take super glue and we want to get all these little pieces and piece them back together again and try and put it back on our necks. And that's why Jesus wrote, my burden is easy, my yoke is light. What the Father has shattered and broken in the spiritual realm, we cannot put back on again. We might try, because that's the only way I know I can prove myself to Him. We don't have to prove ourselves to Jesus at all. In actual fact, we can't. All we do is we tire ourselves out. It's like going the opposite way on an escalator. Get a really fast moving escalator coming down, you trying to go up, doesn't really work. And eventually, I'm just so tired, I can't do this religion, I can't do this church thing, I can't do this God thing, I can't do this. Why? It's because you're functioning in the law and you're functioning in legalism. His grace is enough. His grace is sufficient.